Okay, whenever you're ready, yes? I can start. Okay. Good morning. I've got now Shabbos to all of you. Shalom Aleichem. When we look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, we see quite clearly that Bilam was blessed with three poison arrows in his quiver, three dangerous weapons which he had. Ayin Ro, which is an evil eye, a Ruach Gevoiha, tremendous Baal Gaiva, conceit and pride and arrogance, and Nefesh Ruchova, like a Baal Taiva, lust, greed. He desired a tremendous amount. That was the nature of Bilam. And he was hired really for the first one. He was hired by Balak in order to use his Ayin Ra, as we know, to put a klala on Klal Yisrael. The Ramban brings down in the Pasha that he took him at first on top of a mountain where he could see all of Klal Yisrael, the whole of Klal Yisrael. And then later he went to a different point and he managed to find a certain corner later on where he could make a peep and a glance at Klal Yisrael. The Orachaim asks, how is it possible? How is it at all possible to look at Klal Yisrael? Because we know the Anani HaKavod completely protected them and looked after them. How could he look and see and put a klala on Klal Yisrael? And the Orachaim said he used Kishuv. He got in there because of Kishuv, in other words, he managed to put in and look for a corner of the Tzadikim. And as we know, he was not successful in his mission. But one thing we learned, which is really what I want to talk about, is that there's more behind the eye, meaning there's a tremendous hashvor which the eye has, which we have to really look into and understand. What does it mean, the koyach of an eye and an ayin tova and ayin ro? And that's what I'd like to speak about in Yitzhak Shem this morning. It's interesting, if you look around, someone who really knew this very, very well was Zeresh. Zeresh, the wife of Haman, when she suggested to Haman to make the gallows 50 amas high, that was higher than any building around. It was the highest peak that everybody could see. And the Vilna Gaon there in the Megillas Esther brings down some beautiful points. He explains that there were 5 milers of the eye over any other sense that we have. Five particular minds over the ability to hear or the ability to speak or touch. The eye has certain milers. The first one is, with the eye you can see very far. In other words, you can't hear so closely or you can't see, you can't talk, but you can see something far, far away. And that was their intention. If Mordechai is swinging on the rope, anybody from afar can see. No one will miss seeing Mordechai swinging on the rope. Just as a point in Halacha, you know, there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, I don't know if you know, but before you start damning Shemayin Esrei, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, you should look up to Shemayim and look at the heavens because it's Ma'ora Yirah Shemayim. You can see the heavens. You can see Shemayim. You can see from afar. You can see Shemayim. So therefore that's Ma'ora Yirah Shemayim. But it was, we use that Maila of looking afar. And that's what Zeresh had in mind, number one. Number two is the quality of the eye is that you can see straight away. You quickly pick up the point. You can hear about something a great deal, but once you see something, your tofes miyad, says the Gaon. You immediately hap on. You get the point straight away. Tofes miyad. And there's a beautiful story just to share with you, which is a magnificent story. The Zeda of Avraham Kattler, evidently, wanted to go and see the Vilna Gaon. And he made a trip from Klet, wherever he was, I don't know where he was, and he traveled to Vilna, and when he got to Vilna, he asked where the Gaon was, and they told him the Gaon is in the Cloys, davening Ma'ariv. Beautiful story. He went to the Cloys, and he saw that the Gaon was davening Ma'ariv, Shemone Esrei. He saw the back of the Vilna Gaon, and then came home. And the family asked him, so did you see? Yes, I saw the Gaon. So they said, and what did he look? He said, I didn't see his face. What do you mean you didn't see his face? He went to see the Gaon. Said the Zayda, no, it was enough to see the Gaon from behind. I didn't have to see the front. Imagine what that means. Looking at the Vilna Gaon from behind, davening Shemone Esrei, I already knew what I was dealing with. Isn't that, in other words, the Tofes Yad immediately understood who was the Gaon, just from watching it from behind. It's incredible power, no? That's a Tfisah in the eye. The third thing that Zeresh said is that once you see something, you'll never forget it. Something in the sight is like, it's not just an eye, a camera, it also has a memory to it. And you see something, you remember something very well. That's what she wanted. You'll see Mordechai swinging. No one will forget that Haman was Manatzeach over Mordechai. That was the intention behind it. other words, you don't forget it, because the Gemara brings down, I think the Gemara Yuma brings down, just an example of that, that the, at the time of the Hanukkah Habayis, or Bayis Sheni, the young people danced with great excitement at the celebration, but the old men stood at the side and cried. And they said, yeah, you didn't see Bayis Rishon, we saw Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon is much more than Bayis Sheni. The Kedusha, the Shina. They saw something else. They saw Bayis Rishon. Having seen it, they saw something more than what there wasn't in Bayis Sheni. It wasn't there. Shina wasn't there. The Owen wasn't there. There were things which were missing in Bayis Sheni. And they cried. You know, a friend of mine told me he went to Auschwitz and he said he'll never in his life forget seeing the shoes there at Auschwitz. Shoes of all the children. Hundreds of pairs of shoes, he said. I'll never forget the sight of it. In other words, you see something, you don't forget. And that's what Zeresh had in mind. The fourth thing which the Rilma Gaon says, which is a very beautiful point, is that the eye picks up straight away the emotion of Ahava and Sina. In other words, when people will see Mordechai swinging, they'll immediately understand the Sina against Mordechai, because Haman hated him. And you pick up the feeling. You pick up the emotion. Seeing something, you pick up the feeling. There's emotion. Maybe that's the reason why Achosin and Kala have to meet. The Avo, so not Avo at that point, but there's an attraction. By seeing somebody, the emotions awaken. Not so much by hearing, not so much by seeing something, there's an emotion which lifts you up. And the last point, which the Gaon says, there are 5 points. It's far away, you can cut straight away, you don't forget it. The Avo and Sinner, the last point the Gaon says, it's very, very easy to understand something when you see it. Seeing something is much more powerful in Havana than it is by hearing something. There's much more power behind it. What does that mean? In other words, that straight away, people will understand that Mordechai is dead. In other words, you'll see him from 50 amos away, you'll immediately understand, not just Tofes Miad, but it's Kala Havin, says the Gaon, it's something else. It's very easy to understand something once you see it. I was thinking to myself, just as preparing the shir, you know, I was thinking like a yeshiva, a mashkiach can talk to his bochurim, let's say about Shuva yeshiva, and talk to them for many, many months about the chashivas of Torah. You walk into yeshiva tzmir, and you see what's going on there, and you see hundreds and hundreds of people sitting and learning Torah. It doesn't take long to realize there's something important about Torah, all the bottom image washing and hundreds of people learning. It's very quick, you quickly understand this is important, and men come in, and they sit there, and they stand at the back, and they look, and they see. You understand that Torah is very important. The Hashivas of Torah, people are busy studying Torah of all types. And those are the points which perhaps we should remember. The eye has great qualities, more than the speech, and perhaps more than hearing. Those are the qualities which the Gaon brings out. There is a Maisa brought down in Chazal, about a person called Yosef Meshisa. Yosef Meshisa was in the time of the Bayis Sheni, and the Romans had turned around and said that you can come in and take whatever you want from the Beis HaMikdash. So Yosef Meshisa went in and picked up took the menorah. And they turned and said, no, that's not for you. That you can't take. We're keeping the menorah. Take something else. And Yosef said, no way, I'm not taking anything at all. And they tortured him, and he refused to take anything out. He would not. They actually tortured him to death, Yosef Meshisa. The Ponovitch of Rav asked the Kasha, what happened here? If he came in and he was prepared to take the menorah, so why couldn't he take something else? Said the Ponovitch of Rav, because once you go in and look at the mikdash, zemaspik, he already had a shock. Having seen the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, and how it was trampled on, and it was disgraced, enough, and the Loshon in Chazal is, it's enough that I angered Hashem once. He was so influenced just by seeing the mikdash, seeing what went on there, what there was in the mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash. Enough. Once he saw it, is enough. If you ever, I don't know if you have at home, the Siddur of the Yaakov Emblem. In the Siddur of the Yaakov Emblem is an account given by Erev Pesach. A magnificent account, if you can get hold of it. He taught, there's a Natsir. A vassal came from Rome to have a look at Yudalad Nissan in Yerushalayim. It's a fabulous description. And he describes what he saw. He was so impressed by it. He says that there were thousands and thousands of people who came, and not one person pushed. There was no pushing. There was no panic. so many people. And remember the Mishnah. I think the Mishnah says that once an old man once got squashed from the doors of the Beis HaMikdash. But there was no pushing. And he was so impressed by the fact that it was done so calmly. He describes other things as well. It's not really the place to go into it. But at the end of the account, if you have a chance to look at it, or maybe I'll make a photo public for it if you want it, you ask me for it, I'll send it to you. That there's an account there that King Alfonso from Spain, evidently, read this account of the Roman battle and asked the Jews in Malaga to do a mock 14th of Nisan for him in his courtyard. He asked them to make it up to see what it was like. And they did it, and he was fascinated by it. Exactly. The gold and the silver, the dam being taken, and the singing. They did, I don't know what the shus they had to do it, but they made up a mock assembly of Yudalad Nissen. And he said afterwards, the king evidently said afterwards, after he said, it seems to me it's better for the Jews to die than to live without a Beis HaMikdash. Here, what he said, the impression of seeing something like that. I don't know where the Chazal is, but I remember reading that at different times, Roman vassals would come in. And I remember reading that once they saw the Kohen Gadol, they immediately converted. I tried to look for the Chazal, I couldn't find it. But evidently, just looking at the Kohen Gadol, the eye makes a great impression. And that's the point which we have to understand, which I'd like to take out from the Parsha of Bilam. There's the Hashvah, which is good. Nebuchadnezzar, there's also Hashvah, which is bad. And we have to be aware of that as well. I was once sitting on Shabbos. I was privileged to sit by the Lubavitcher a few times, on Shabbos in his house in Barakah. And we were once sitting having the Shabbos meal together. I was there. And in the middle of the meal, the Rebbe, went into a trance. He wasn't there. He wasn't with us. I could see he was looking and glancing ahead. He was looking at something. And then he turned around and said, only the Ribono Shel Olam can solve that problem. As an Yahutzpan, I came forward and I said, you know, what is the Rebbe referring to? So he said this is what he said to me. He said, I'll tell you what I meant. He said, in the last, I think he said 6 months, I myself have taken responsibility to close 3 yeshivas on the Eastern Seaboard. And he said to me, why? Because the Bochum would not listen to the Anhola. They insisted on opening a laptop in their dormitories and their iPhones. And I said, if they're doing that, there's no point in keeping the yeshiva. And I closed it down. So we can't solve that problem. Only the Ribono Shel Olam can solve that problem. It's beyond us. Beyond us. The damage which is caused. You see something on a computer and it's available. It's the Rosh HaRabim brought right into Rosh HaYochid. That's what the Pinker said. It's so lethal. It's so lethal. You see something which you shouldn't see. And it's so damaging, the eye. The eye has tremendous kayach in it. Tremendous kayach. I remember I was once picked up by a friend. I was in America and he picked me up from the airport. And took me back to his house. I was speaking in the town for a few shiurim. And he told me in the car going back, he said, listen to what happened this morning. My secretary came in and she was traumatized completely. She said, yesterday she came back from work and she found her little boy on his bed screaming his head off and crying. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't calm him down. She picked him up and embraced him. After a few minutes, she asked him what had happened. He said he pressed a button on the computer and saw something which was terrible. He should never have seen it. Something in Kreitzus, he said, I shouldn't have seen it. I pressed a button. He was traumatized. The effect of this, the eye doesn't forget. And it stays with a person. That's the kreach of the eye. What I'd like to suggest is, what's the mechanism which makes this for the eye? What's behind the eye that it has such a power of influence and the impact on it? Where does it come from? What is it? I think it's all our voice like in the Bochel we say in the morning. Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech Olam, Poikeach Ibrim. What does it mean, Poikeach Ibrim? It doesn't just say, Poiseach Einayim. No. It says, Poikeach. Poikeach is an expression of to perceive, to investigate, to understand, to have insight, to conceptualize something. It's not just seeing. Our eyes are not just a camera and you take the picture. You know, like you have by a chosan and kala when they come back after the chasna and they show you like hundreds of pictures. They're only pictures. There's nothing more. The eye is much more than that. The eye has pictures. The eye sees something and perceives something. Where does that come from? From the mind. Because the mind is really the controlling agent of the eye. What the eye sees, the mind is controlling and manipulating and regulating the eye. And that's the meaning of pokeach, even. Pokeach, you have to have pichus with the eyes. And I think that's a great lesson which we must learn from it. Where do we learn this from? I think the best example that you learn it from is from a Ramban by Eishes Loich. Remember the Machlokes? The Machlokes, why Eishes Loich turned into a pillar of salt? The Machlokes. Rashi says, because she wouldn't give salt. She was a miserly woman. She wouldn't give salt to the visitors. The Ramban disagrees and says, that's not the reason why. This is what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, there's a concept called dveikus by the eyes and the mind. When you look at something, you become connected to it. The eye draws you in and pulls you in. And the words of the Ramban are, machshava is the dveikus. If you look at that by Eishes Loich, machshava is the dveikus. And therefore, they were told not to look. She turned around. She could have been 10 miles away. She looked back and lingered in her mind for her family who were left in Stein. She wanted to be there. She, in her mind, looked back and connected with Stein and Amoyla. The weather that day in Stein and Amoyla was Gofris Vamelech, was salt. So she turned into a pillar of salt. From there we learn that Machshava is the Vekas, because she became salt because she wanted to be there. And that's the Yisod of the Ramah, and that's where it comes from. The Pokeach even means you're connected to what you see. It's not just seeing something. There's a dveikus in the eye, and the eye is like a magnet, and it pulls you in through the machshava. I was thinking, I don't know when you conceive that halacha, you know they say, midah tova is meruba mi midah roa. Midah tova is much more powerful. What does that mean? It means like this, that if we say by midah roa that a person can be dovuk to that, then kol shekein by midah tova. And I was thinking that there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, in Tzadik Dalet, that when a man davens, one should face Yerushalayim. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah there, because you must imagine that you're standing in the Kodesh Kodoshim. Those are the words of the Mishnah Berurah. As if you're standing in the Kodesh Kodoshim. What does that mean? It means it's not poetic. It's not like a fairy tale. You're there. And therefore the machshava is the baker's. When you're standing, it's as if you're in front of the Kodesh, those are the words of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim is as if you're standing there. But how can that be? I'm in Chicago. I'm in London. I'm in Melbourne. No, you're connected. Once you think of something, machshava is the baker's. And that's the Pokeach Ibrim. The Pokeach Ibrim draws you in. The pichus of the eye is the mind in the eye. It's not just the seeing something. And that's the mechanism, I think. We understand the mechanism of the eye. That's exactly what it is. Where do we see that? I remember reading Gaon HaTzadik, the Mordechai Tzukim and Zecher Tzadik Livrach, a connection with him. He was a rabbi of the Prushim in Givat Shor when I lived in Hanok. I used to daven there in the Prushim Shul. I remember he wrote in his sefer, it's a sefer called Lev Mordechai. It's a beautiful point. He said, you find three places in the Torah, Vayisa es Einov Vayar. Three places. Vayisa Abom es Einov, Vayar Shlesha Noshim Nitzavim. He saw three men there. Vayisa Loit es Einov, Vayar es Kol Kikar HaYaldein. He saw the Yaldein. Vayisa Esav es Einov, Vayar HaNoshim. What's that? Said Reb Mordecha, beautiful understanding. They lifted up their eyes, and what did they see? Avraham Avinu was desperate for guests. He couldn't take it. It was a hot day, and his life's ambition, his mission in life was to do chesed. There was no one there. He looked for guests, and therefore he saw the guests. He didn't look to see it was a hot day. He saw shloish ha'anoshim. That's what his mind was pekeach to. He wanted to see. Esav loit was desired money, and therefore he saw a land of fertility. He didn't see Avraham. He didn't see Kedusha. He saw geld. He saw money. And therefore, he went after Kikar HaYaldein. Esav was after women. And therefore, the first thing he saw, he didn't see it. He saw Noshim. Esav, my Yahweh, had Noshim. He saw the women. He was looking at the women. And that's the point we have to understand. That's the pichus. If you, there's a Yahweh's Tavash, if you understand, Leibschitz brings down a beautiful Havana. That light was not allowed to look at the destruction of stone, but Avraham was told by Yashkef al-Pnei Sodom. Why is that? Because when and Lot would look, he would become a Balgaiva because he was smaller. He was a smaller person. Avraham Avinu would take a lesson from it of Anova. If that's what happens in Oynish, he would look at it in his Pichus and he would say, I have to be careful of Oynish of Rishoyim. It's good for him to see that. It's bad for Lot to see it. Interesting, no? That Avraham, the next Pasuk says, Avraham looked out, but Lot, the Pasuk before says that he was not allowed to look. But Avraham did look, and he was allowed to see because it would be good for him to see it. That's Pichus in the eye. I was thinking, if you develop that point a little bit more, what is perhaps one of the most crucial parashas that we have in the Torah, which is relevant to our times at the moment? What is it? What we're going through at the moment, and all the Ikkus of the Mashiach, perhaps, L'Aniyos Da'ati, it's Parashas Shemos. Why? Because Parashas Shemos deals with the Shibud, and then the immediate Geula. And the Yesodos of Geula are there. You know, we say on Tisha B'Av, we say the words, K'tesi Mitzrayim, K'sharti B'Yushalayim. When I went out of Mitzrayim, there's a comparison made. So whatever there was in Mitzrayim is a role model, is a semel, is a rehearsal for the Osid Lavoi. So Mitzrayim itself in the Geula, in what happened there, and the scenes of the Geula there, are all like a rehearsal for what will be in the Geula Shleima. That's the nature of it. Now look carefully, Rabbi Yisrael. There are three main protagonists in the Geula of Klal Yisrael. Three. And each one of them, they were in one family. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. These three. Now, in this parasha, they all come to life, the three of them. They're born and we learn about them. But look carefully a second. In what way was Miriam distinguished in the parasha? Says the pasuk, she stood and watched and looked and saw that this child, Ledea, how is he managing? She was emotionally attached to him. By looking and watching as a babysitter, she cared for Moshe Rabbeinu. And that was the greatness of her, what she saw. The Pasuk says, Mefulosh, she stood there and she was looking. Her eyes had tikkus in her eyes. Take another domestic scene, a scene which happened. Moshe Rabbeinu left the palace. First thing we know, Vayar Kesiv Loisam. He looked and he saw the pain of Klal Yisrael. Nosan Eino V'Liboy, says Rashi. He put his eyes and his heart. He was very, very distressed for Klal Yisrael. What does it mean? He saw. He had pictures in his eye. He didn't just go out and take pictures of Mitzrayim. He saw the scene in Mitzrayim. And the eyes, it's all in the eyes. And Aaron comes on the scene. Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu, refused for 7 days to go down. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu pressed the right button and he said, V'ro'acho v'somach v'liboy. Again, the eyes of Aaron. Aaron will see you and he'll be overjoyed that you have the job of the Mashiach. Moshe was worried, he's his older brother. Look, though, Rabbi Yisrael, all three are distinguished and excelled in the eye in Tova, the pictures of the eye. Their pictures was incredible. Miriam watching there, Moshe for Klal Yisrael, and that's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen, because of his eyes, his pictures in his eye to be concerned. In his mind, he was disturbed for them. And that was Aaron as well, when he saw Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all in the kayak of what you see, and the pichus in the eye, what you see behind it. I don't know if you read the Avigdor Miller, Zichrono Livracha, but last week in the Avigdor Miller, in Pasha Skulkas, he had a very interesting suggestion, which I don't know, the first time I've ever heard it. But he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the beginning intended that Klal Yisrael would be 40 years in the Midbar. 40 years in the Midbar. And the Maaseh Tshver, because we see clearly that from the Meraglim it was supposed to be 40 years. And that's what it came out as an Oynish. And he said no, from the very beginning, and that's why they built the Mishkan, because the Mishkan was not built for 11 days, because it took 11 days from Mitzrayim to Kodesh to get there. No, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind that the Mishkan would be movable and collapsible and with them all the time, and they would live for 40 years with Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, looking at them and staring at them and learning from them. Kedai for Klal Yisrael to be amongst these three, and from them they would learn and they would change in the eyes, through the eyes of these three, to to become a mamleches kohen in the Goy Kodesh, from being downbeaten, hard persecuted slaves, to come into being Klal Yisrael. But it was the chinuch, says Rabbi Avigdor, the chinuch of these three, kedai to be next to them. And that's the reason why. It's a beautiful point he mentions. Why? Because just looking at them, looking at these people, you changed, you grew. The influence of Moshe and Aaron and Miriam, Miriam on the women and Aaron as the Avodah, and Moshe was the brought the Torah. And then it was because of these three, looking and seeing them, that's what these Hashorah is. It's a beautiful idea, a beautiful thought. But if you think it, take it a bit further, that was really also the point of the Oile Regel. Why come at Oile? The Pasuk says, Yeroeh, Yireeh beYeroeh, to see and be seen. Oile Regel meant that you walked through the Azorah. I don't know how much time you were given, maybe a few seconds. But the Koyanim, the Chaim Volozhin brings it out at the end of Shah Aleph in Nefesh HaChaim. The Koyanim opened up all the curtains, everything, and you could see the two Kruvim hugging each other. Miraculously, they were hugging. And the Koyanim would say, see, you see the love that HaKadosh Baruch has you, and even doidi v'doidi li, the love between you. And you go home, that's it. You bring your problem. Chagiga, maybe you stay beyond Tov. But Oile Regel was seeing and be seen. Why? Because once you saw that incredible dveikus between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can go home now. You have the inspiration that you need. Come back again in a few months for the next Yom Tov. That's Oile Regel. Oile Regel is a burst of inspiration and enthusiasm. Remember also there were no cameras. Maybe, I don't know, you would paint a picture or something, but there were no pictures. It was only in your mind, in your pictures, in what you saw when you looked there, that remained as an image in your mind, and now you go home. Seeing it was already enough for you. That was the kinyan. Oile Regel meant looking at the Kedusha and moving on from there. The most beautiful idea. And that was Oile Regel developed them and made them into Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. That was Oile Regel. That was the koyach behind it. If you think about it, really, that was really the greatness of Rabbi Akiva, no? Think about it, all those beautiful mice of Rabbi Akiva. He looked at the water on the stone. He had great pichas in his eyes. He saw and made derived from it a lesson that if it can make an impression on me, that's pichas in the eye. Understand something by looking at that. He wasn't Talmud Chacham at the time, but he realized there's a power when he saw it. That's great havonah, that's perception, insight in the eye. Take the mice of the end of Gemara in Makkos with Rabbi Akiva and all the Talmid Chachamim and Har Habayis. They were crying and he was laughing. And they said to him, why are you laughing? He said, why are you crying? So Rabbi Akiva said, I'll tell you why I'm laughing. Because the Nevuah of Uriah, which said that Tian Basodeti Koresh will be plowed up, that came true. If that came true, then the Nevuah of Zechariah, that Oy Yishama Ba'ore Yehuda, Ruchut Zeh Yisushalayim, there'll be Simcha. Vision, no? A man with great, great vision. He looked and saw something else which they never saw. He had tremendous pichas in his eyes, Rabbi Akiva. He saw something which no one else saw. He saw simcha. He saw optimism. They saw Nebuch the Chorban. Tremendous koyach of the pichas, the perception and the understanding. Not just looking at something and saying, oh dear, what a pity, the Chorban Abayis. No, no, he saw in it the future of the Geula, which would come out from it. Unbelievable pictures. I want to share with you an example of it, which I remember reading some years ago. It's a beautiful story about Rav Isaac Sher. Rav Isaac Sher was the Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka. Slobodka was a famous yeshiva in Europe, as you know, it was in Bnei Brak. And when they started it, he came over, he was the son-in-law of the Alter from Slobodka, the Moshe Svitigl. And he was a Rosh Yeshiva there, the beautiful Meister. And in the morning, a Bocha came to accompany him to Yeshiva to go and daven in the morning. He was a big, tall man, very elegant looking, tremendous stature, and would walk up the hill to Slobodka. And one morning he was walking together with the Talmud, and as they were walking up the hill, a path going up, a woman, a young married woman, came running down the hill in tremendous lachats, like she was tearing down the hill. You could see a married woman, and it was like impossible for Isaac to stand on the path. And he got pushed aside and she ran right past him with no dercha, just flew past him. And the Bocha turned around and said, ah, chutzpah, ma chutzpah, isn't she see the Rosh Yeshiva here? And Adam Talmud Chacham. He was very angry. Rabbi Isaac never said anything. The next day, obviously, he thought about the Maisa. This is what he came out with. Listen to this. This is called Pichus in the Eyes. Rabbi Isaac turned around and said to the Bocha the next day, I've been thinking about the Maisa and what you said. Let me tell you, when I get up in the morning, I've had a completely undisturbed night, usually I sleep very well, and my wife is so devoted prepares a hot drink for me before I leave the house. When I leave the house, you're there to collect me, and on the way, I meet many people. Everyone smiles at me, everyone gives me shalom, good morning, and, you know, and doors are open for me. Wherever I go, people are very sweet and gentle to me. And, you know, I saunter along and I make my way to Yeshiva. The door is open for me. Someone carries my tefillin. Someone puts my shtender in the front and a siddur for me. And everything is provided in the most beautiful way for me. It's as calm and as peaceful as can be. It's so mamash beautiful. And I sit down after davening and people take my tefillin from me and then I learn a bit. And when I go home, my wife has prepared to me. She's so devoted. A beautiful breakfast for me. Everything is, I'm pampered to the utmost. Let's imagine, he said, this lady who was running down the hill. What happened to her last night? Most likely, she didn't get much sleep because one of the children was probably crying the whole night long. And she would probably have hardly any sleep at all. Then when she got up in the morning, she had to get the children dressed, and this child, and get them all ready to go to school and to cheder. And that's a big job. She had no time in the morning. She probably never had time to daven, certainly not coffee. She was in great panic. Why? Because she goes out to work to support her husband. Her husband is a budding Talmud Chacham, and she's devoted to him, but it's hard. It's very hard in the morning. And she knows that her boss has told her already, listen, you have to be at your chair by 8:30. If you're not there by 8:30 in the morning, then I'm sorry, you can't have it. She's being pressured by the boss. She has no choice. She has to catch the bus on time. So she comes out of the house, she tears down the hill, and she's in a hurry. And he turned around and gave a long, long stare to the bottle and said, and you call that chutzpah? You call that chutzpah? Isn't that a beautiful mindset? That's pichus in the eye. Look at me, I'm so pampered. To see the other person and realize what they're going through, that's tremendous pichus. That's a manly vision. Pichus in the eye to understand, look what you call that chutzpah? That's not chutzpah. Understand what the woman's coming from, where she's going to, what's going on in her life. That's the point. The pichus in the eye. That's a word of Pekeach Ivrim. I want to end with a mimer which I once saw from the Simchas Basel in Zechus HaGivrocha. It's a beautiful point about the curve of the eye and Havon. I think it's very relevant to our times that we're going through as well. The Gemara in Megillah brings down that the Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asked him, why was the Ashmada, why was the Holocaust, the Gezeirah of the Holocaust given in Purim? What was it for? So Rabbi Shimon turned around to them and said to them, because they were there. He said, what do you think? So they turned around and said, because they went to the banquet of Ahasuerus. So Rabbi Shimon turned around and said, yeah, that's for the Jews in Shushan. But remember, Haman's decree was the Ahasuerus of Kol Yehudim. So it's more than that, more than Shushan. So what do you think? And the Simcha then said, I never really understood this question in the Gemara. Pasuk says Mefurash in the Megillah, because Mordechai would not bow down to Haman. That was the reason why. So what's the whole kasha here? Didn't they read from the Megillah? They saw it. So what was troubling the Talmidim? If it says in the Megillah, because Mordechai wouldn't bow down, the Hashmat left Kala Yehudim, you know, that's okay. Tafanoshi b'yomechod. What's the kasha here? Didn't they understand that the Megillah says it clearly? So Rav Simcha said like this. No, the Talmidim were not asking on that basis. They were asking on the following account. This is what they had in mind, said the Simcha, the beautiful Havona of the Talmidim. They were asking Rav Shimon Bar Yochai like this. If you watch, these are the words of Rav Simcha, a puppet show, and you see the puppets dancing and fighting and talking and making up and making all sorts of plans together, and anybody looking at it realizes it's not the puppets. It's someone on top pulling the strings, and that person is making it all happen. The puppets are a show. The puppet is only what you see in front of you. You have to look at the screens to understand what's going on. The Talmidim are asking Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, what does it mean in Shamayim, this? In other words, what's going on in the Hashgacha Pratis of Klal Yisrael as a klal here? What's behind it? Not just because of one thing, it's not because of Mordechai never back, it's something in Shamayim. They were asking, what does Ribbono Shelolam want? What strings is he pulling when this is going on? That's what they were asking. They realized that there's something much more. they had pikhus in their eyes to see it's not just because Mordechai, there's something more behind it. What is it? And that's what they were asking. And he brings an example of Simcha, beautiful point, of the Meraglim. Remember when Moshe Rabbeinu sent out the Meraglim? So they went to look at Eretz Yisrael, and they came back, and everything was fine, their report was good. There was one word they never said. They never said the word Hashem. Never said the word Hashem. They saw Eretz Ocheles Yoshvecho. It's a very dangerous land, because all they saw was funerals the whole time, people being buried. That's all they saw, just funerals going on all the time. Yeah, but Rashi says they didn't realize this was all the strings being pulled above so that no one would notice the spies walking around. They're so busy with their funerals. But they didn't, they only saw the puppets. They didn't see the strings. And that was a mistake of the Meraglim. They never looked above to see Hashem. They never mentioned Hashem. They saw a land, Eretz Ocheles Yoshvecho, but that's not the whole story. That's the puppet show, what's going on. And he says, that's the reason why Yoshua, when he sent Meraglim, they came back and told all the Nisim that had happened to the two Meraglim in Yericho. They saw Hashem behind it all. Says Rav Simcha, if the Meraglim would have seen the strings on top, they would have realized, listen, if we had Nisim for 12 people, 600,000 people, Avada Kodesh Baruch Hu Donei Sfaraz, they never saw the basket of the strings, pulling the strings. And I was thinking, isn't that really the situation that we're going through now? It really is. We see a situation of a corona, we see things going on with Trump, with Netanyahu, with Iran, and also anti-Semitism in Europe. Yeah, we see all these things, but all the political climate and everything which is going on, it's only puppets here. We must look above, and that's pikhus in the eyes. Pikhus means to see further than just what's happening, but you have to be able to see. There's a Ribono Shel Olam with the pandemic. The things which are happening, which we might not understand. And that's what the point is. What's the hashgacha behind it all? And that's the point which we must take out of it. Not just to look at the circumstances of the day, but to look in our tshuva and return to back to Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch is putting strings here. No, that's what it's all about. I don't know how old you are, but I remember as a kid growing up, this beautiful song. I really still love the song. And it's such a beautiful song, and Louis Armstrong, and then he said, I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night, and I say to myself, what a wonderful world. We don't say that. We say, Morabu Maaseh or Hashem. We don't say what a wonderful world. We see behind the beautiful sky and the blue sky, we see the Ribono Shel Olam. That's called pikhus in the eyes. Not just to look and say, what a wonderful world. What a wonderful world is what a naturalist would say, a humanist would say. But we turn around and we say much more than that. You know, I used to look at some of my children, some of the nature films of David Attenborough. You know, beautiful films of nature, but it's all nature. You never mention that. You never see the strings being pulled. It's all just beautiful in nature. We see more than a wonderful world. We see more Rabu Maaseh Hashem. Let me finish with a beautiful report of Dinah Bramsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Dinah Bramsky, in his end of his life, came and lived in Beit Dagan. And he once turned around and gave a pshat in the pasuk, Yerushalayim ha'im soviv lo. What does it mean, Yerushalayim ha'im soviv? When you look around Yerushalayim, all you see is harim. What does it mean? The beautiful scenes, beautiful mountains there. What's behind the words, Yerushalayim ha'im soviv lo? So Dinah Bramsky, the next words, Vashem soviv la'amoy. Meaning, the close proximity of the hills of Yerushalayim is to tell you that's how close Hashem is. Hashem Soviv La'amo. Not just the beautiful scene of the hills around Yerushalayim, but Hashem Soviv La'amo. And that's the Nekudah. To have the pikhus more than just seeing the sight, but the pikhus in the eyes. That's what Zeresh had. That was a mile of Zeresh. That's what Bilam had. Bilam saw something, and with his mind, he wanted to put the klola inside Klal Yisrael. And that's the pikhus in the eye. That's the difference between Avraham, Lot, and Esau. They had in their mind something, their thoughts. And that was Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. They had pikhus, there was pokeach even. Moshe saw the Rachmonas, not just the scene, but Nosan Eino Belibai. And that's what Isaac shared as well. He didn't just see a woman darting down the hill. He saw the situation of the background. That's pikhus in the eye. And that's what we have to try and pick up, especially in the times that we're going through now. Not just to see Nebuchadnezzar, the corona is a terrible illness, a tragedy going on, but we must see the strings being pulled from the Ribono Shel Olam. That's called, when we say in the morning, Pakeach Ivrim, that's Kavana behind that bracha of Hashem. I wish you all a good Shabbos, Kotev.
Good Shabbos, Rabbi from Shkoyah. Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful, Rabbi Shkoyah. Very good.
You're welcome.